As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
The Phil Hay Show.
Welcome to the Phil Hay Show. That's brought to you by The Athletic along with The Square Ball. My name's Dan Moylan. I'm here from The Square Ball with Phil Hay from The Athletic, where you can read all Phil's stuff. TheAthletic.com/LeedsPod. And another busy weekend, Phil, following on from what's been a mad week. And there's no let up yet, is there? Because Leeds lost to Man United and we are in the throes of trying to get a new manager in place. You can read all Phil's coverage about that stuff on The Athletic, TheAthletic.com/LeedsPod for the special sign up price. Phil, where are we? What do we take from that game against Man United? And where are we with the manager hunt?
You were saying mad week. It's been a mad season, really. Mad 18 months, which never really settled down since the beginning of last season. And it doesn't even really feel like the club's properly settled down since the sacking of Marcelo Bielsa almost exactly a year ago now. There was the game yesterday, obviously, but a little bit like Manchester United away in midweek. For 90 minutes or most of 90 minutes, everybody was able to plug in and, you know, lock into the game itself. But round about it, I don't imagine Leeds have ever been so distracted or had their minds elsewhere with this particular fixture on the agenda. All eyes are on the head coach search and have been since Marsh was sacked. Prior to Marsh being sacked, all eyes were on him and the question of what was going to happen with him. And I think in the minds of a lot of us, you know, the inevitability of the change that had to come. And I think as we get into this discussion, we'll probably reflect again that they've left the Marsh decision too late. They have. They're trying to recruit now at a really difficult stage of the season where the league position is very, very poor without being absolutely dreadful, but, you know, 100% not great and not wildly attractive either. At a stage of the season where games are starting to count down now, and there is, you know, you have to consider as a prospective head coach coming in, there is the risk that you take over a club you're relegated. One of the hallmarks of this search so far has been, I think, the overriding feeling among a few coaches that they've spoken to, that it is far better to take charge at the start of a season than it is midway through it. And this is not even midway through, you know, we're beyond the halfway point now and Leeds still 17th and in trouble. And the news yesterday was that Alfred Schreuder, the ex-Ajax coach who was sacked by them, you know, two and a half weeks ago, no more than that, was in the crowd for the game. We've since learned that he was at the team hotel as well. Absolutely 100% in firm contention for the head coach's job. And if I'm being honest, as of last night and as of full time, I think highly likely to have got it. He was pitch side at one point post-match. You know, it wasn't even as if he was being hidden away. He was very visible at that point. But suffice to say that the reaction to it, and I'm talking online more than anything, the club have not been oblivious to that at all. I've certainly not been oblivious to that. It was one of those classic moments where you tweet the story out, it gets about 50 likes and 800 replies within 20 minutes. And the reaction was not at all positive and not at all encouraged. And I think the club moving to look at somebody like Schreuder tells you that it did not go well last week when it came to the kind of key priority figures who they were trying to target, you know, the people who were most prominent on the shortlist of options that they really, really wanted. They've not been able to have breakthroughs with people like Andoni Iriola. And this is where they are. And I think they have a massive decision now about whether they go through with this, about whether they go with Schreuder. And it is a critical call. You know, we've got Everton on the horizon on Saturday, which is a huge game, followed by Southampton after that. And it feels as if this, you know, this period and, you know, these 24, 48, 72 hours could dictate so much this season.
You talk about the decision to sack Marsh coming too late, Phil. Are we being entirely fair there, or are we saying that with the benefit of hindsight?
No, I don't think we are saying it with the benefit of hindsight. I think, you know, I'm always conscious of the general narrative that goes around head coaches, that they don't get anywhere near enough time, that clubs are extremely impatient with them, and sometimes too much is asked of them in a short space of time, and they're really on a hide into nothing. I think a lot of us could feel with Marsh that it was not going well, and it didn't look... I felt from kind of October onwards that there wasn't really much promise of it coming good. And I think what you have to consider is that if you reach February, middle of February, and at that point you try to change your coach, your options and your list of choices is going to be limited. It's going to be very, very small. You're essentially looking for a coach who will, you know, a talented coach, up-and-coming coach, or highly rated coach who will give up the job that they're in, i.e. Iriola, Rayo Vallecano, Arne Slot at Feyenoord, or you're looking for somebody who's out of work. And by definition, you can pick up some very, very good out-of-work coaches. But, you know, coaches who are out of work tend to be out of work because they've been sacked from the previous posts, as with Schreuder at Ajax. Exactly the same with Marsh a year ago. You know, had left RB Leipzig. So when it came to actually securing him, Leeds were able to have him in the country on the same day as they dismissed Bielsa because he was available. So it is, you know, it is a difficult discussion around Marsh because you can't deny that the club gave him all the time I think he could have expected. They gave him players, they recruited for him, they recruited specifically for the tactical plan that he was trying to make work and trying to pull together. But I think I said after he was sacked, that moment of clarity where you realise how much of this season has been lost, you know, how much of this season has been lost in return for 19 points from 22 games. It's not enough. It's put them in real danger, in massive amounts of trouble at the bottom of the league. And now they're in this situation where they're trying to find a head coach. It's not going, you know, as planned, in the sense that I honestly think if Iriola had said yes last week and Rayo Vallecano had been willing to let him go and willing to negotiate his release, I think that would have been done already. But that's not where we are. And as it stands, you know, 9 o'clock Monday morning, Schreuder looks like he is now the front runner and in absolutely firm contention for this. But Leeds have a decision to make on the basis of the reaction that there's been to it overnight.
And do you think they may change their opinion on this as an appointment, Phil? Because the reaction's been huge. I mean, just to follow this up, because I was fascinated by the reaction yesterday. So I stuck a poll out on the Square Ball account, just ran it for 12 hours, and it's got 16,500 votes. Based on what you know, would you like Alfred Schreuder as coach of Leeds United until the summer? Yes, no, or undecided. Yes was 4%. No was 81%, and undecided was 15%. What do you think those results say? I've got a thought on it, but I want to see what you think first.
Well, I think they say, first of all, that Schreuder coming in and taking the job would have to be an appointment that worked very quickly and worked very well. I think if you appointed Schreuder in those circumstances with scepticism around him, and you went to Goodison Park and lost on Saturday, you'd already be in pretty volatile circumstances, which, you know, don't promise a huge amount. And I have to say, if I was Schreuder himself, looking at the reaction to the news of him being at Elland Road, I think I would be questioning whether or not that was really a position I wanted to get into. I do think that there is, and there's been dissatisfaction, I think, growing dissatisfaction with the direction the club have been going in for the last year. There's no doubt about that. And it goes back a little bit further than that as well, really to the start of Bielsa's last season, when you could feel the steam going out of the club's impetus and the momentum that they built up in the previous 3 years under him. And I think, you know, there is frustration with the hierarchy, without a doubt, frustration with the hierarchy. And I think there probably will be a certain shortage of trust in them to get this right. I think had they gone for somebody like Iriola and delivered on that and delivered very quickly, it looked like a very, very interesting, fascinating appointment that he's done great things at Rayo Vallecano. And I think even if had you gone for Iriola and it hadn't really worked, you could still have seen the logic of appointing him. But with Schreuder, it does feel very much as if they've reached the point now where they're looking for available options that can be done quickly. Without a doubt, Everton has become a red line. They do not want this to go beyond the stage where a new head coach is in charge for the Everton game. You know, they don't want a third game to fall to a caretaker team, which is why, you know, there's been the urgency with Schreuder, I think, and why he's come into the picture as rapidly as he has. In the mind's eye, they would have appointed somebody else, without a doubt. But as I said right at the outset, middle of February is a difficult, difficult time to get exactly what you want.
They've really not helped themselves, have they, either, with Radrizzani tweeting needlessly, in my personal opinion, that they hope to get it done a week ago. So already you've put a time imperative in place. Separate to that, you've got the club confirming that the targets that they were after were in jobs, and then you see Schreuder's not in a job. So you think, well, they've missed out on all their targets. So there's two different things there where that they've set parameters for themselves that they've not met. So you wonder why they felt the need to do that in the outset.
I think clubs tend to brief in these circumstances, and clubs tend to try and give some direction or idea of what it is that they're wanting to do. And it would be fair to say that at the outset of this, you know, the candidates they were looking for, like Areola, for example, were 100% in work. I agree with you about Radrizzani's tweets. I don't see the purpose of them, and I don't see how they help. You know, you're talking to people about white smoke on Tuesday afternoon, and then suddenly it's Monday morning and you've got Schreuder, who's been in the crowd at Elland Road and has been at the team hotel. It seems to be a massive swerve or a gear change away from what you were originally talking about. But it's symptomatic of the way that the week has gone. You know, they've gone from looking at the candidates who ideally they would have taken and people who they'll have been looking at for a while, but who, you know, Areola, for example, I think would be very doable at the end of the season. They like Marcelo Gallardo, who was at River Plate for 8 years and left that job in October. But everybody around Gallardo says he does not want to take his next job at this stage. You know, he wants it to be with a full season ahead of him, which I totally understand. You know, it makes sense. That's the kind of the Bielsa attitude towards work, is that you want pre-season so that you can plan it properly. You don't really want to firefight. I think with Schreuder as well, when you start to look, he's been at Hoffenheim, he's been at Club Brugge, he's obviously been at Ajax, where it didn't go well for him. So at face value and on paper, you can say he's been at some prominent clubs. But some of those jobs haven't worked out at all. Ajax, certainly not. And, you know, it's not difficult to find stories of conflict between him and certain players there. Daley Blint, I think, being the one that has jumped out more than anything. True as well to say that Ajax sold some big players last summer. You know, they sold Lisandro Martinez and Antony for a lot of money. But he also, as far as I can tell, has never been in this particular situation where you're picking up a club who are in, you know, in so much trouble at the bottom of the table and need to settle quickly and need to find some rhythm and form quickly. So it begs the question straight away of whether or not this is a sensible appointment or the right appointment. And as ever with these things, you know, you would find out in time. But I understand why people would be concerned about it, why people would wonder if it was going to work. And I don't think anybody at Elland Road would be able to deny that as of last Monday when they sacked Marsh, in no way was the plan for Schreuder to come in on a fairly short-term basis to the end of the season. You know, that was just not the idea. That was not the strategy. I still believe that the prime strategy was ideally to lure Areola over from Rayo Vallecano. But it's perfectly obvious that is not going to happen unless something dramatic changes.
Just returning to the reaction then, and I think you've touched on the conclusion that I reached having slept on this overnight, Phil, because I think there are sort of two strands to that 81% who don't want him. There are the fans who have perhaps read the reactions of Ajax fans, and is it 20 who he was at before?
Yes.
Prior to that? Yeah, and their fans have all kind of, the ones that you've seen anyway, have said they're not all that overly enamoured with him. And then there are fans that are feeding off the opinions of other fans. I think it's important to recognise that. And by no means is a Twitter poll in any way scientific. It's just an interesting kind of way to sort of take the temperature of how people feel on any given day. And, you know, emotions are always running high off the back of losing home to Man United. And then I slept on it and realised that outcome, it's a reflection of Victor Orta, isn't it? It's a proxy vote on him, really. And the wider ownership, I guess, this regime, there's not a lot of confidence in it.
Well, everything Leeds do, everything that they do, every strategy they have when it comes to recruitment and also, you know, head coaches, the idea is always long-term. And I think I've said previously that even though it didn't work out with Christiansen, Heckenbottom in Radrizzani's first season, they were never supposed to be short-term appointments, in the same way that Marsh was never meant to be short-term, in the same way that the plan this time round was not to do, you know, a coach who would take you to the end of the season. And then from there, you would take stock and see what happens next. And I suspect that people are starting to feel as if, you know, the kind of conviction and the direction of the club is gone, and that the way they would like to operate is not the way they're actually able to operate. To go back to Iriola, I think that would have been a fairly unanimously popular choice. I think people who looked at his football and read about him and understand what he's done there, and in a short period of time, because he's a very young coach, would have liked the idea of him coming in and trying to create a project at Elland Road in his own style. With Schroeder, you are into the ballpark of saying, we just need somebody who can get us through the back end of this season. That's how it feels now, and that's how I think it's going to have to be. You know, I think it is going to have to be at this stage an appointment that is here, certainly initially, for 2, 3, 4 months, and gets you through to the end of it. But perhaps you shouldn't be surprised about that. I mean, how many clubs at the bottom of the table or in the position Leeds are in are ever going to have the luxury of being able to pick exactly who they want at this stage of the season? You just aren't. You aren't at all. And as I say, I think with hindsight, and it is with hindsight, but, you know, I've kind of felt like this for the back end of Marsh's tenure. This has run to a point where it's a critical time, you know, an absolutely critical stage. And particularly because of the two games coming up now, particularly because of the fact that Southampton have sacked Nathan Jones and are about to change manager, and are, oddly enough, you know, considering Marsh, but might go for somebody else and might start to pick up form. This is absolutely vital, this decision. And as is the management of the club over the next couple of weeks, it's critical to making sure that they don't go down.
And it feels to me like, just speaking on behalf of myself here, like it was a mistake, yeah, not to do this when they had the window to do it during the World Cup. Perhaps it needed a bit more bravery, a bit more certainty around where this was going. It feels like they've lacked that, doesn't it, where Marsh was concerned?
I get that that's difficult, and I get that that's easy to say looking back now. And there's always that part of you that thinks if this could click and it could work, then the project that's already in place, you can stick with. You don't need the upheaval. You don't need the cost of the payoff of a manager. But in the end, it hasn't worked. And, you know, Marsh has a choice this time last year is evidently a mistake. You know, it has not happened. But the coaching world is sort of weird, merry-go-round. You know, Schroeder out of work at Ajax after Ajax for 2.5 weeks and now seriously considered for the Leeds job. Marsh out of work for less than a week after leaving Leeds and kind of being seriously considered for Southampton as well. It is odd the way it goes. But, I think the developments with Schroeder are going to be very interesting, whether the club feel that they can grit their teeth and push through with it and do it anyway. Because let's be honest, he was not here for a holiday yesterday, and he was not here as Ten Hag's plus one. You know, he was here because he was being seriously considered for the post. Will they do it or will they not?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
My concern with Schroeder, I mean, I won't pretend to know much about him other than the reports I've seen from, you know, there's various blogs, websites, Ajax fans saying things. But you look at his record in a kind of general sense, and you've got a manager who's had one spell of success in a weaker league, which happened at Bruges, didn't it? Then he stepped up to a bigger league, failed. Concerning reports emerging from that club, from its fans, from its hierarchy. And then he rocks up at Leeds. It's got all the hallmarks of a classic Victor Orta broken toy, hasn't it?
Well, and if Leeds were, say, top half and they were going for this appointment, I think you'd still be a bit perplexed about it because of how it went at Ajax. But you would maybe feel if as a club you were convinced that Schroeder would be good for you, you'd maybe feel that you had the leeway to do it without the damage being intense. But it seems to me, looking at this, that if this is one that they get wrong, the consequences are going to be absolutely massive. And I think a few weeks back, Mast was sort of saying we're not in a relegation fight at this stage, and they absolutely were. And I don't think anybody at this point could say that they're not. You know, it's very, very much in the mix down there in a serious way. And it's just such a big call, this. It's such a big call. And as I say, because it's Goodison Park on Saturday, because it's that fixture in particular, because Leeds know that if they lose at Goodison Park, I mean, it's the Merseyside derby tonight, so that might change the table in itself. But if they lose at Goodison Park, they will absolutely be bottom three with, you know, if Schroeder is in place, with a head coach who the suggestion of appointing him has created the reaction that it did overnight. It would be a worrying situation. They've got to nail this week. They do.
I should say as well, from a fan's point of view, I think if it is Schroeder who is named, he will get the backing from the outset. But set against that, I also think fans will not be shy in voicing their disapproval if this does not work immediately. I think, and the same goes for the board.
Of course. I mean, in a lot of ways, that's not really about Schroeder, is it? That's more about the build-up of what's been going on for 12 to 18 months. And I think in a lot of people's minds, that the feeling that this might have been coming, I mean, it's still slightly perplexing because I feel as if it is a decent squad at Leeds. I feel as if there's more to be had out of this squad than 17th place. And actually, you know, they played well twice against Manchester United. I think to come out of those two games with 1 point was, they'll feel hard done by, and they should. The circumstances were actually, they could have come out of the games with six, I think. But they did definitely run out of steam towards the end at Old Trafford. They did run out of steam yesterday against Manchester United as well. I don't think the substitutions, Skubala, I feel, and I, you know, you might argue the toss for me here, I think he's done a really good job the last two games. I honestly do. Having to pick that up on Monday, I think he's managed to deliver two pretty strong performances, two pretty good performances, limited in their own way, but I'm left thinking, what more can you expect? You know, it's going to be limited, isn't it? Because you can't cover every base in that period of time. I don't think the substitutions worked yesterday. I think they probably, and again, I think Ten Hag's did. You know, Martinez coming on, Garnacho as well. It's just, I guess, the elevated quality that helps to win games like that. But it did start to swing towards Manchester United in the last 15 minutes at Elland Road. And when you needed that bit of class, you know, that I guess, deadly finishing, they were there, weren't they? It was a great header from Rashford. I know he's at close range, but great cross from Shaw, great finish from Rashford. Second goal, absolutely deadly as well. And that was that. And it's funny, you know, since Schroeder's name has come up, I've seen a few people saying to me, I'd rather go for Skubala than go for Schroeder. Is either option right, really? You know, could you really thrust this into Skubala's hands? Is that fair? You know, ask him to see them through the back end of the season. I think it needs something different to that. I think it needs something more, I guess, an appointment of more conviction that looks like there isn't confidence in what's being done.
It needs an appointment of gravitas, doesn't it, more than anything, yeah. I think, Phil. And I think, yeah, yesterday, the moment when I went, uh-oh, was when they hit the bar. And I said over on our show, like, you could see Leeds physically tiring at about 70 minutes. Yeah. They were just trying to slow the game down, break it up a little bit. They started using Melier a little bit more from attacking positions. And he just thought, they haven't got the legs here quite.
I think that happened at Old Trafford as well. But I would say that one of the things I liked about Skubala's approach was that it wasn't as if the press was unaggressive or unenergetic, but I thought it was tighter and it was a bit more pragmatic and sensible in that it wasn't wild and loose. You know, they were almost a little bit more compact, asking Man United to play through them, which they were not good at really for a lot of the game. In midfield, Fred and others, Sabitzer, never really got on top until the latter stages. And I think, again, Adams and McKennie had a good game for the most part yesterday. But you're right. You know, that shot off the bar, and then just more and more, the balls to Rashford looking for his pace just started to become harder and harder to deal with. And there was just that increasing feeling that Rashford was going to do something at some stage, which he did. And it was a classy finish. It was a good header. Whether they deserve to come away with that result, I'm not so sure. But once again, you sat after the game you know, listening to this, to comments of we probably deserve more. And it feels like we've been stuck in that hole and stuck in that corner for weeks and weeks. And the longer it goes on, the more trouble you get into.
And it was the same move again, moving Rashford inside that undid Leeds, wasn't it? They brought Garnacho on. Yeah, I mean, went to the left.
I almost said on Friday's show, and I didn't because I didn't want to score a hat-trick, but I almost said that Weghorst, I'm almost wondering whether Ten Hag's on the wind-up, really. But Rashford is just at a different level altogether to him. And absolutely, once he was right in the thick of the game, it was a problem.
Could have been a different game, though, couldn't it? If Somerville scores early doors, yeah, it could give Leeds the impetus and maybe they have it in their legs. You know, the adrenaline carries them through for the final 20 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, the chances were there. The good positions were there. I don't think they made quite enough of the good positions they were in. I think in both games, to give Skubala his due, he's picked attacking lineups. They've had a crack at it. You know, they've deliberately gone out to try and win the game. I don't think there was any doubt about that. It must be tempting as a caretaker to be a little bit cautious and to kind of play the percentages. But I don't feel like Skubala tried to do that at all. And I think he's definitely enhanced his reputation over the past week. But I also feel, you know, caretaker stakes, that there's a big difference between having to manage a couple of games and having to manage a Premier League running when you're in danger of going down.
Like, do you think perhaps he took Bamford off a little bit too early yesterday because Jorginho Ruta didn't offer the same pressing after he came on? And he looked a little bit lost, to be perfectly honest, didn't he? He was nowhere near up to the speed of the game.
I don't think Bamford had a particularly great game. You know, I don't think he was particularly great, but it was, I would have said that the system was far more effective prior to those substitutions. And although with Harrison, some of his decision-making wasn't perfect either, it felt like him leaving the field made a difference. You could definitely feel that swing as quite often happens towards Manchester United in the last 15 minutes. And I think as soon as Rashford scored, the entire ground seemed to know that it was game over.
Yeah, it completely changed the atmosphere because the Man United fans had mostly been quiet up to that point. It was quite an absorbing clash actually for the most part, but then it just switched, didn't it? There was that acceptance that, yeah, this is done now.
Yeah, it was really engaging. I mean, some of the chanting was not great. And I was saying on Twitter, I feel like it's never going to eradicate that from either side. And it's pointless, you know, from what I was told and from what we could gather, the Istanbul chant started before the Munich chant. But, it's all one and the same thing. And it just feels as if no matter what you do, this is always going to go on. You know, in the same way as Jimmy Savile chants and everything else, it just never stops. But the games themselves, the actual football, it was really, really engaging without either game being absolutely brilliant. You know, I don't think yesterday was a technical masterclass in any sense at all, but it was like a proper, proper rivalry, proper old-fashioned rivalry. And actually, I think what helped was that, you know, in years gone by, there might have been much bigger disparity between Manchester United and Leeds. And okay, they had Rashford, you know, players like that who were able to make the difference. But it felt like incredibly even for a lot of it. You know, it felt like it was in the balance. And actually, I felt like for a lot of it, Leeds had the better of it.
Some nice big crunching tackles that went in as well at different moments, which always gets the crowd going, don't you? You see how games are reffed a lot more in the modern era. And I mean, that's part of, I guess, a lot of what makes people fall out with football is the way that it's become softer and softer and softer as a contest. And yet you see these big tackles going, you think, this is what it's all about. This is brilliant fun.
It is. Skubala was asked about the McKennie and Adams partnership afterwards, and he said, I love that partnership, and I think that's got an awful lot of legs. It's going to be really interesting once Rocky is fit and once we settle down with whoever is going to be head coach and they, you know, they start to pick a lineup in the formation that they favour. It'd be really interesting to see what happens in midfield. You know, Rocky's new to the club, relatively speaking, too, and from Bayern Munich last summer, and, you know, will not be intending to sit on the bench, but quite clearly, McKennie is getting into this quickly. McKennie wants to play. Adams, absolutely no interest in dropping out of the team. And given his form this season, there's no way you would drop him from the team. So that's it. You know, that's one area where they're going to have to find the balance.
And what a fascinating prospect coming up in a couple of weeks with the Southampton game as well. What if Jesse Marsh takes over there? Do you think he could finally win at Elland Road this year?
Whether or not Southampton go down that route, we'll see. And needless to say, I'm not following that especially closely. But It is the case that they've had eyes on him. Marsh, from what I can gather, would be interested in the job as well. I mean, one of the things they always said about Marsh at Leeds was that although the USMNT job was there to be had, you know, I know there's a lot to resolve over there and it's all a bit fractious and contentious, but, you know, the likelihood is that that's going to come up for grabs and he would be a candidate. But I think from what was being said, he wants to try and stick in club football if he can. I don't think he's necessarily ready to go from club football. But again, given that Southampton are on to their third head coach of the season, that would be a massive call.
How big do you think the next 24, 48, 72 hours is in terms of Leeds United's recent history? It feels like there's an absolutely monumental decision that's got to be taken, and they've got to get it right.
Both that period and the next 2 weeks, because of the games that fall into it. I mean, I don't know how many points you'd actually need from those two fixtures, Everton and Southampton, but six is very much in my mind. And less than that, I think we'll probably ensure that Leeds are still in the thick of it, or much closer to the bottom three than they would want to be. But let's be honest, it a lot of this now is going to rest on what they do with the head coach. And, you know, if it is Schreuder, and if they do go for him and decide to grit the teeth and crack on with it, then he's going to have to deliver quickly.
Do you think they might back down? Do you think they're going to go through with it? If you had to put your house deeds on it, what do you reckon?
Well, put it this way, they won't have ignored the reaction last night. They won't be oblivious to it. It won't have gone over their heads. They'll know what the mood is about Schreuder, and that will very much be in their minds, I think, as they decide. But it's not as simple as saying, okay, on that basis, we won't go for him. You've got to have alternatives, and you've got to have other people to go for. And as you know, this time last week, I would have said to you, you know, I think Areola is a high probability, because I didn't expect Raya Vallecano to be so resistant. At this stage, you know, clearly on the basis of what was going on yesterday and Schreuder's presence in Leeds, you know, I suspect he was extremely close to the job at that point. Where it's going to go from here, we'll have to see. I don't know.
As it's always the case with Leeds, isn't it? I mean, trying to predict what's going to happen next.
Like, if they appoint Schreuder, it won't be a surprise, because he's here and, you know, he was at the game yesterday. He was at the team hotel. That tells you everything they need to go. That tells you everything you need to know. But if they decide to go in another direction on the basis of the kind of mood and the reaction to that yesterday, I don't think that would be a great surprise either, would it?
It'd make a great soap opera, if nothing else, wouldn't it?
Football does, yeah, without a doubt.
It does. Well, we'll wrap it up there then, Phil, for the Monday edition. The show will be back later in the week, maybe with or without you. We're not quite sure yet, because we've got half-term plans are right up in the air, but we will certainly keep tabs on everything that's happening at Leeds United.
Absolutely.
TheAthletic.com/LeedsPod to sign up for The Athletic then. Another huge week in store. You can read everything that Phil writes on there, and you can listen to these pods as well. Ad-free, TheAthletic.com/LeedsPod. Back later in the week. We'll speak to you soon.
The Phil Hayes Show.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.